Now we're going to continue on in our study of grace. And once again, I just want to remind you, grace is not compassion, grace is not mercy, grace is not loving kindness, but all of those things are a part of grace. Grace is a spiritual force. And if you focus in on grace as just being love, or just being mercy, or just being compassion, you're missing out on a lot of what grace can do for you in your life, because the power of grace is mighty. The power of grace is something that God has given to us to help us in our life. And so we're going to continue on in this. And here in 2 Peter, I'd like for you to take a look at verse 14. Praise Jesus. And read with me verse 14 through verse 18. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. All right, now, I want to show you the direction that we're headed and then go back and take the path to get there. Verse 18. But, he says, but. Now what that means is, when you see that word but, that tells you that he's qualifying something that he's already said, or explaining to you what to do in relation to something he's already said. And we'll go over that in just a minute. But he says, but, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now another way to look at this is, but grow in grace, and you will grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You grow in grace, and you're going to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Since grace is a spiritual force, when we look at it from that perspective, what we see then is that as the power of God's grace grows in abundance in you, you are going to grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Don't you want to know Jesus? Don't you want to know Him better than you've ever known Him in your life? I do. I want to be intimate with Jesus. I want to know Him in ways I've never known Him before. I want to draw closer to Him, so close that it almost feels like He's standing next to me. That's how I want to be with Jesus. And I believe that's possible. And he says here, if you'll grow in grace, if the power of grace continues to grow and abound on the inside of you, you're going to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace is a power which works in us and leads us to a greater understanding of the work of Jesus in us. And church, I want you to know right now that as we go through this, you're going to see how that a lack of understanding about what Jesus has done and is doing in us as the body of Christ is one of the main reasons why we have so many problems in the church today. People just don't know what God is doing. Because see, if you know what God is doing and you understand what God is doing, then it's easier for you to get along with other people because you're in one mind and in one accord. Everybody, there's a unity there. And that unity comes with Jesus Christ. Grace is a power. The power of God's grace, that spiritual force, works in us to give us a greater understanding of the work of Christ in us. And if you look at this now, let's go back and take a look. He says here in verse 16 that there are problems. He says, you've got some people here who are unlearned and unstable. Now, he's not saying you've got a bunch of dummies, a bunch of ignorant people, or in other words, a bunch of people that they can't understand. I mean, they're mentally incapacitated to the point that they can't understand. That's not what he's saying here. He said, you've got some people here who are unlearned and unstable. Now, that right there, that word unstable, helps to clarify what he means by the word unlearned. They're unstable. and they rest. So that means they argue, they fuss, and they fight. What are they fussing and fighting about? The Scriptures. The Scriptures. He says that Paul writes some things. Some of those things are hard to understand. Some of those things are hard to understand, and as a result, you've got some people who are unstable in their walk with the Lord, and because of that instability, what they're doing is wrestling, they're arguing, they're fussing, and they're fighting over the Scriptures. Not just over what Paul wrote, but over Scripture itself. They're standing around, sitting around, and they're fussing over what Scripture has to say to them, and what it's doing then is leading to their own destruction. So this is a statement of warning, because he comes there in verse 17 and he says, "Now look, I've written to you and I'm telling you about this ahead of time." He says, "Beware, beware, watch out. I'm warning you. I'm giving you this warning right now. You beware, or you too are going to be led away with the error of the wicked, and you're going to fall from your own steadfastness." So in other words, he's writing to people who are not unstable, but he's writing to people who are stable, and he's giving them a warning. He says, "You better watch out, because I'm warning you now. I'm telling you ahead of time, there are people out there who are unstable in their walk with the Lord. You've got people out there who are unlearned, and they're fussing over Scriptures. And if you don't watch yourself, you too are going to get pulled right into this stuff, and you're going to end up fighting and fussing over the Scriptures and fall from your own stability, fall from your own steadfastness. How do I avoid that?" Verse 18, grow in grace. Grow in grace. He's saying, but grow in grace. Verse 17, beware. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but you grow in grace. I'm warning you about these people and what they're doing. I'm warning you about what can happen to you if you don't watch what you're doing. And now I'm going to tell you how to avoid this problem. And that's to grow in grace. Because when you grow in grace, you are going to grow in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there are three identifying factors in this. One of those here is Scripture itself. There's a key in that. Scripture, the fact that people are fussing over Scripture, and number three, the way to avoid that, which is to grow in grace. So there's a key here that we need to take a look at, and that is the Scripture itself, because that's where this is originating, this whole problem that he identifies. And he's saying, you grow in grace, and you're not going to have this problem. You grow in grace, and you're not going to fuss over the Scripture. You're going to have an understanding of Jesus Christ. The force of grace gives us, it's a power working in us to enable us to understand the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. But right along with that, it gives us an understanding of the working of Scripture itself. So he's saying to grow in grace, or in other words, as you grow in grace, you're going to understand these Scriptures that people don't understand, or that these people get caught up in fussing about. You grow, you allow the power of grace to grow in you and develop in you and work through you, and it's going to help you to avoid the problems with Scripture that some of these other people are having out there, and you will not fall from your own steadfastness. You will not fall from your own personal stability in the Lord. Now, let's take a look at this process, how it happens. Keep your finger or a bookmark here in 2 Peter chapter 3, but turn over a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 2. Now in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says in verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may" what? "Grow. That ye may grow thereby." See, one of the biggest problems that we have in many churches is that there is no opportunity for those who are new Christians to grow in the Lord. You say, "Well, we have church." Well, I know we have church. But yet Peter has already identified the fact that you've got a lot of people who are fussing over Scripture. One of the ways to avoid fussing over Scripture is to grow in grace, but to give people the sincere milk of the Word. I personally believe that every single church needs to have a milk class. A class where you bring in believers, new Christians, and you put them in there and you begin to teach them the fundamental truths of the gospel. What is salvation? Yeah, I've asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, but what's that mean to me? Yeah, you tell me I'm born again, and I can tell that there's something different on the inside, but what is this? What is this born-again experience that you're talking to me about? I've never been in church. In all my life, I never went to church. And yet, I just happened to come into your church, and I sensed that I needed this Jesus that you talked about. And so I came to this altar, and I gave my heart to Jesus. And now you're talking to me about the doctrines of Moses? What do you? I don't understand. Well, that's when you start losing people. Because they walk out the door, and they say, man, I don't understand this. How many of you can remember the time that you struggled with the King James? Maybe you still struggle with King James. I don't know. But you see, I can remember the time when I would read through the King James. I said, man, therefores and who fors and what fors and beatitudes and where attitudes, epistles and apostles. And I have no idea what's going on inside here. But you see, if you take people and you begin to give them the sincere milk of the Word, I'm not a person that, you know, I teach, I read, and I personally enjoy the King James. And my personal opinion is the King James is the better translation. I look at other translations more or less as reference material, if you will. I like to read some of the other translations just to see how somebody else put it. And on many occasions, I find mistakes in there. But you're going to find some people that they get caught up on the King James to the point to where you'd think that the Greek and the Hebrew are a translation from the King James. But, you know, it was the other way around. But if you give somebody the sincere milk of the Word and you go through and explain to them what's happened in their life because they're born again, the result of that is an ability to understand what is written in this book. Because as you begin to teach them the elementary things of God's Word, as they read the Word, they begin to understand what is written in there, and they begin to get an understanding of this. But you see, if you immediately tell them, well, here, you know, you go through and you read the book of Romans, that'll clear everything up for you. Well, I'll tell you what, Romans is a very detailed book. That book was written to folks that were highly educated. It was written almost from the standpoint of an attorney writing to a court. And you give a book like Romans to somebody and say, here, this will explain it all. Well, church, I'm going to tell you what, they're going to be scratching their heads before very long and saying, I do not know what you are talking about. That's why they need the milk. And he says here, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk. If we as mature believers do not encourage the newborn babes to desire the milk of the Word, guess what? We stand a good chance of them walking out and not coming back because we have not nurtured them. We have not taught them along the lines of the milk of the Word. And so he says here, as newborn babes, desire the milk of the Word that ye may grow, that ye may grow thereby. Now, flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And you still have your finger there in 2 Peter chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look what Paul says in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. In other words, what he's saying here is, look, Corinthian church, I couldn't speak to you beforehand as spiritual. I couldn't get into the deep things of God's Word. I had to teach you as you were new babes in Christ. And I did that. I fed you with milk and not with meat because you weren't able to bear it. But you still aren't able to bear it. You have been stuck on the milk bottle all this time, and you have not grown to the point to where I can give you the meat of God's Word. And he goes on to tell why that is. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? What he's doing here in this third and fourth verse is identifying exactly what Peter was describing back over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Unlearned and unstable people resting or wrestling or arguing over the things of God. Because this Corinthian church was taking the teachings of Scripture, and they come up and say, well, you know, I'm a follower of Paul, or I'm a follower of Apollos, and I'm this, and I'm that. And Paul's saying, no, you don't understand. You're not of me, and you're not of Apollos. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He says, you can't follow me, and you can't follow Apollos, and you can't follow anybody else. Jesus Christ is the only one that you can follow. But yet you're caught up in all of this arguing. You're caught up in all of this resting, as Peter puts it, and you're arguing and fussing and fighting over the Scriptures, over who's this and who's that. He says, you're still babes. You're unlearned and you're unstable. You're unlearned and you're unstable and you're still babes, and I can't teach you the meat of God's Word. You're going to have to put this stuff down and accept the fact there is none other besides Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Get off the milk bottle and let me start giving you the meat of the Word. So you see, he's dealing with an issue that Peter was warning people about. Watch out, don't get caught up arguing over all these silly things and making a big deal out of things that you should be way beyond, and don't get caught up in fussing over whether the epistles were the wives of the apostles and did Adam and Eve have belly buttons and all this other dumb stuff that goes on in the church. Get beyond that. Go past the milk bottle and get into the meat of God's Word. Grow in grace. Grow in grace. Now look over in another situation, Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 12. He says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. What's he dealing with here? Well, look at this verse 12 again. He says, ye have need that one teach you what again? Or in other words, somebody has already gone over this stuff again and again and again with you. You've already been taught these things, the first principles of the oracles of God, and yet you have slipped in your relationship with God to the point that now somebody's going to have to come back in and teach you from point one all over again, because you, look at the rest of this verse 12, you have become such as have need of milk and not strong drink. At one point in your life, things were going fine. At one point of this life, you were feasting on the meat of the Word, but now look at you. Man, you need somebody to come along and teach you all over again the very fundamentals of the milk, to bottle feed you, take you back to where you were before. And that's wrong, because you've been in Christ long enough. You've been a believer long enough. You have eaten from the meat long enough. You ought to be the one that's standing up and teaching people from the meat of the Word. And you can't do it, because you've slipped in your relationship with God. You know what? That's exactly what we see in the church today. You've got so many people, they'll come into church week after week after week, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and they'll sit in those pews, and they'll get fed meat. Now, I can't speak for the churches that all they do is stick a bottle in their mouth and tell them Jesus loves you and sends you home. But when you get in these churches that are feeding the meat of God's Word, and people sit in those pews and they sit in those pews and they never do anything with it, you watch. You watch. They're going to begin to become weak in their relationship. Why? Because they keep getting fed and they keep getting fed and they keep getting fed, but yet they're not putting anything out. They're not giving so that it's going to be manifested and multiplied unto them. They're not feeding. I mean, think of it in the natural. Let's say that you eat steak every day. I mean, man, a big old T-bone. Just, you know, medium with baked potato and salad and all this stuff. Every day, man, at dinner time. There it is, big old thick T-bone. And you eat that. But you got a problem in your elimination system. And you keep eating these T-bone steaks and these salads and these potatoes and these pies and cakes and all. You keep putting it in, but ain't nothing coming out. Now what's going to happen? Pretty soon, you're not going to be able to put much more in. And you know what the doctor's going to say? The doctor's going to tell you You got to stop eating the meat. You got to stop eating the solid food. You're going to have to go to a liquid diet. And we're going to have to do something to get your elimination working so we can clean all this junk out of you. That is exactly what's going to happen. We're going to have to put you back on a liquid diet. And church, I'm telling you right now, that's what happens if you do not take. If you do not take what you have been given and do something with it, pretty soon you're going to find that you're going to start to slip in your relationship with God. You will. Every one of us in here. Well, I'll put it like this. I'd be willing to say that just about every person associated with this church, you have been a believer so long, you have no excuse for not taking what you've received and doing something with it. Maybe you're not called to teach a Sunday school class, but yet, you know, you might be able to participate in some way, shape, or form. I mean, I'm not telling you anything that Jesus didn't say in His Word. He said, you take what I've given you and you go and you teach and you exhort and you build up. And those of us who have been believers for 3, 4, 5 years or more, we have no excuse for not doing something with what we have received from God. We have a responsibility and a calling from God to take the meat we've received and pass it on and teach it. Because you see, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word. And when we share the Word that we've heard, you know what we're doing? We're edifying ourselves, see? We're building ourselves up. I'm going to tell you what, there are times when I leave these services, and man, I'm sky high. There are times I'll be up here and I'll be sharing with you from God's Word, and in the middle of the service, God shows me something in a verse that I hadn't even thought of. In fact, I'll tell you right now, I was going over this message yesterday and I thought it was all done already and everything's fine and wrapped up and cute and all that. And then God began to give me some more along with this. Some things to incorporate and to add to this. Things that I had never thought of before. Things that hadn't even crossed my mind. But in the process of studying and preparing this, He began to show me more and more and more with us. And so I'm giving that to you this morning. This morning I had intended to go beyond what I'm just going to cover today, but God showed me so much that I can't do that. So I'm going to stay right where we are. We're going to finish up this point today. But the thing is, as you begin to give out, God, through the Holy Spirit, begins to open up to you more and more. Or in other words, you grow. You begin to grow spiritually. You begin to grow, as Peter put it, in grace. That force of grace begins to work more mightily on the inside of you. And he says here in chapter 6, look at verse 14. He says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, or those who are mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to do what? Discern both good and evil. Now that ties right in with what Peter said back here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, talking about unlearned and unstable. In other words, these people are so ignorant because they've gotten caught up on the milk, they've gotten caught up in all this silly stuff, that they're not able to discern the fact that it is silly. But yet when you feed on the meat of God's Word and you grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you not only can discern the difference between right and wrong or good and evil, but you can discern the difference between the things that are important and the things that are not important. And that's not to say that anything about God's Word is not important, but yet, you know, after a while, if all I did was stand up here and preach salvation, you'd begin to wonder, well, isn't there anything else in Scripture? That's like I heard one fellow saying, man, every week we went to church. Some evangelist was telling us. He said, every week we went to church and all we heard was, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. He said, we had people getting saved every week because we got to the point where we thought we weren't saved because all we ever heard was, you must be born again. You got to get saved. Got to give your heart to Jesus Christ. And he said, but there's more to that. There's so much more to that. And that's what the writer of Hebrews goes on to say. Look in chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Now, he's saying, look, you people, you Hebrews that I'm writing this letter to, you feasted on the milk, you feasted on the meat, now you've gone back and you need the milk again. All right, let's go through a real quick refresher course. Let's leave the principles of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Let's go on to perfection. Let's go on to perfection. That word perfection does not mean an absolute, total state of living where there is never any imperfection to the point of that you never goof up somewhere along the line. But what he's saying here, go on toward perfection, that entire phrase means advance toward and bear the fruit of full maturity. He's saying, let's leave the elementary things behind. Let's leave the milk behind. Let's get on the meat of God's Word and let's advance toward and bear the fruit of full maturity. Full maturity. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's time to grow up. And it's the power of grace that works in us, enabling us, helping us to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, let's go on from where we are. Let's go forward. Let's advance toward and bear the fruit of full maturity. And this is the reason why you have a whole lot of Christians who are not bearing fruit. You go back and you take a look at the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, and so forth. And there are some believers, you look at them and you observe their lives, and you have a hard time finding anything that has to do with the fruit of the Spirit coming out of their life. Why is that? It's because they're not advancing toward and bearing the fruit of full maturity. Or in other words, they're still wrangling and wrestling and arguing and fussing over these doctrines. They're still on the milk of God's Word and they've never done anything to go forward. They are not growing in grace. They're not growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, how do we do that? Well, look over in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to what? The word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The word of His grace. How do you get the power of grace to grow in you? How do you get to the point where you experience the working of the force of God's grace in a greater measure? I commend you over to God and to the word of His grace. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. I commend you over to God and to the word of His grace. Now that builds you up, that means to edify or cause you to advance toward and bear the fruit of full maturity. The word of His grace is able to cause you to advance toward and bear the fruit of full maturity. And why is that important? So you can grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I want to show you something that is so neat in this. You see that phrase right there where it says, give you an inheritance? I want to read to you the definition of that phrase. Let me read this verse. I'll start at the beginning of verse 32, and I'm going to read to you the definition of that when I get to that point. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to cause you to advance toward and bear the fruit of full maturity, and to reveal unto you the fullness of your inheritance in Christ, and cause to manifest in your life the entirety of your inheritance. Glory to God. In other words, what he's saying is, the word of grace, this is it. This is the word of the power of God's grace. Here it is. The word of His grace is able to cause you to advance toward and bear the fruit of full maturity, and in the process, it is going to reveal unto you the fullness of your inheritance in Christ. And that right there is one of the reasons why so many people are having so many problems in their lives. It's because they don't understand the fullness of their inheritance in Jesus Christ. God has said in His Word that He has placed all things under His feet. Everything is placed under the feet of Jesus Christ. When we get to the point where we realize that all things have been placed under the feet of Jesus Christ, that means anything that comes our way to mess our lives up, and it doesn't matter what it is under the feet of Jesus. All the works of the enemy are under the feet of Jesus. The enemy himself is under the feet of Jesus. All things have been placed under the feet of Jesus, and we are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That means that authority and dominion is given unto us. We have inherited in Jesus Christ all things under our feet. In the name of Jesus Christ. And it's the power and the force of the grace of God, the Word of God's grace, which reveals unto us the fullness of our inheritance. The inheritance is already there, but we need to get a revelation of the fullness of that inheritance. Why? So that we can see manifest in our lives the entirety of our inheritance. Church, I'm going to tell you what. We have good things laid up for us in heaven, but we have an inheritance in this life right now. We have an inheritance now in which we can be partakers. What do you think Jesus came for? To restore all things unto himself. All things. All things. And that includes not just our redemption, but all things. Because God created all things to be controlled and dominated and ruled over by the creation that is created in his own image. And Jesus bought it back. Jesus bought it back, and that is our inheritance. And the Word of God's grace reveals unto us the fullness of our inheritance. And as we begin to proclaim the Word of His grace, it causes the fullness of that inheritance to begin to manifest in our lives. And we begin to see things happen in our lives that we've never seen before. We begin to see the things that we've been praying about, we begin to see them take place. The answers to the prayer. Why? Because the power of God's grace is working on the inside of us, and it's bringing to us a revelation of the fullness of our inheritance. Let me tell you something. If somebody were to come to you and say, well, you know, you have inherited this particular thing. You know, you had this great uncle that you never knew about, and because he died and you were the only one that he ever loved, even though you didn't know him, he knew who you were. And so he's left to you the title deed to all the property on which the Dayton Mall sits. Now, wouldn't you get kind of excited about that? Knowing that every month you've got, you know, these big checks coming in. Well, now, what if you knew somebody that had happened to them, and yet they never went down to the post office, to the post office box, to get the checks? Now, wouldn't you think that's pretty stupid? Really? Let me tell you what, church. We have an inheritance now. Right now in this life. We have an inheritance right now. It's already bought and paid for. Jesus Christ did that. And it's the power of grace, the Word of God's grace, which causes us to understand, hey, I don't have to put up with this stuff from the enemy anymore. I don't have to put up with him coming at me in my family. I don't have to put up with him coming at me in my finances. I don't have to put up with him coming at me in my body. I don't have to put up with this anymore because I have an inheritance in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And bless God, I am going to see that inheritance manifest in my life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Now look back over in 2 Peter. He says, but grow in grace. We've already discussed how to grow in grace and what happens when we grow in grace. The process that takes place. And it's the force of grace, the power of the Word of God's grace, revealing unto us the inheritance. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I studied this out, and in the knowledge of, and listen to what that means. But grow in grace, and you will have a clear, exact knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, resulting from a participatory relationship with Him. You're not standing on the outside looking in. You're not just saying, well, yes, praise God, I'm born again. It goes beyond that. Now, You're growing in grace. The force of God's grace is growing on the inside of you in greater measure. You're experiencing the power of that grace at work on the inside of you. You're gaining a greater revelation of who you are in Jesus Christ, a greater revelation of your inheritance in Christ, a greater revelation of how that inheritance can become a part of your life right now and manifest in your life. And right along with this, you begin to have a participatory relationship with Jesus. Or in other words, it's you and Jesus working side by side. It's no longer, well, He's up there and I'm down here, but now you understand that the two of you are working together. It's no longer me just talking to Him, but it's the two of us having a communication with each other. We participate in a relationship. Paul said in Philippians 1:6 and 2:13, being confident of this very thing, that He which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And then he says over in Colossians 1:29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. What he's saying here is, I understand now that Jesus Christ is at work on the inside of me. I understand now that the power of His grace is working in me. And I understand now that it's working to cause me to grow to full maturity, that I can bear the fruit of a full, mature Christian. I understand my inheritance in Jesus Christ. I understand that He has given me these things, that I can rule and reign in this life. In this life, and he says, I labor, but the way I labor is according to His working. Not by my own designs, not by my own intentions, or not by what I think should be done, or the way that I think it should be done. But I work, I labor, I strive toward reaching that goal that He has set before me, and I do it in accordance with the way that He is working in me, because He's working in me mightily, and I am working with Him. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Or in other words, he's saying, listen, you didn't get caught up like these other people fussing about the elementary things of the Word and the first oracles of the milk of the Word, but you received the meat of the Word and the power of grace. It began to work in you, confirming the truth that you heard. You didn't look at it as just something that a man spoke, but you realized it is the Word of Almighty God, and it will change your life, and it will work in you effectually, because you believe, because you trust, because you realize this isn't just something that somebody's making up, but these are the words spoken from the very throne of Almighty God, and you know what it can do on the inside of you. And over in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, he says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory. And I looked this up. I studied this verse out. And listen to what this means. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, will cause you to be fully mature and developed, for you have been equipped for every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory. We are fully equipped right now, where you are in your relationship with God. Everything you need to perform the perfect will of God for your life is in you now. The power of God's grace takes the word of His grace And it causes on the inside of you the full development toward maturity so that you can perform every good work He's called you to and bear the fruit of full maturity. Would you please stand? When you get into this word and you begin to read, you can open this and you can say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I appeal to the force of Your grace, the word of Your grace, O God, to reveal unto me the mysteries, the hidden things, the inheritance that I have in Jesus Christ. And Father, I yield over to You myself for You to work in me that effectual working that causes me to advance toward and bear the fruit of full maturity in Jesus Christ. The power of God's grace gives us an understanding of what God is doing on the inside of us and how we can relate to Him and how we can grow in Him. The power of His grace will work in us a revelation because the Holy Spirit, as we've learned, is the administrator of God's grace, of the power of this grace. And 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things, hallelujah, with spiritual. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would pray for all of us here that we would come to an understanding that the power of Your grace is such that it works in us by the administration of the Holy Spirit, by the word of Your grace, O God, to cause us to grow and develop and become that full, mature Christian that You want us to be. Father, I pray that we will not get caught up resting over the elementary things, resting over the things like the unlearned and the unstable, but that, Father, we will appeal to the power of grace. We will yield over to that spiritual force working in us, administrated by Your Holy Spirit. And that, Father, in that process, You're going to begin to reveal to us the fullness of our inheritance in Jesus Christ, how that inheritance can be manifest in our lives right now. And Father, You reveal to us those deep things of Your Word and speak to us by Your Spirit so that we'll understand what it means to work in accordance with the working that Jesus Christ is doing on the inside of us. Father, I want to thank You for the power of Your grace and the word of Your grace, and that the fact that grace, O God, gives us a greater understanding of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, church, I believe God's challenging us. See, God wants us to mature. He wants us to grow in Him. And it's time to get beyond the petty things. It's time to get beyond, well, I don't know about this and I don't know about that. The reason that we don't know about this and don't know about that is because we've not submitted to the working of the power of God's grace in our lives to reveal unto us the inner workings of the Word of God's grace. See? He's not keeping it hidden from us. He's given us the Holy Spirit to teach and compare spiritual things with spiritual. In church, we may look at other people and think, wow, they're dynamos for Jesus. But I want you to know, God looks at every single one of us as born-again believers as potential dynamos for Jesus Christ. Because the same Holy Ghost I have is the same Holy Ghost you have. The same Jesus that's in me is the same Jesus that's in you. The Word that's in you is the Word that is in me. Can you imagine if we all those of us just in this room today, begin to appeal to the force of God's grace and say, Father, I just submit to the power of your grace working on the inside of me. Now you teach me and you show me. Can you imagine what would begin to happen in our midst? Hallelujah. Man, we'd all be coming in here with revelations of the Word that we've never seen before. God, that's what God wants. It's what He wants us to do, church.